You may be seated. And if, I don't know whether we give the opportunity for you here, if you have not had a chance to sow, write a check to All Nations Church, your tithes, your offerings. We have got envelopes in the seat pockets in the back behind you. You can make a check. For those who have the ability to, by phone or iPad, however, go to give.allnationschurch.us. That's the mode. And thank you for sowing. I was meditating on some of the scriptures here, and it's been a, like I said, it's, I remember a Dickens quote that said it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, and he goes on like that very famous quote in as he begins, I think, the novel, The Tale of Two Cities. But we have victory after victory, and part of the victory is, as I talk about it, this weekend, that our president was able to declare. Last week, I believe it was United Arab Emirates. This Friday, this week, it was Bahrain. And the Middle East is very key for us from way back. In 2000 years, for example, I remember as we met, as a young, very young pastor, and Bonnie and I were married when we were quite young. But during all that time, we were being brought up spiritually with the knowledge of what amazing thing God had done by restoring the Jewish people to their land. And they were celebrating their independence, their restoration in 1948 onwards. There were amazing victories that almost, as they began, all the neighboring nations attacked them, and here was this single teeny nation, and they beat all of them, and it was because God was with them. And after that, we were able to observe key things that happened, the 1967 war that brought back the whole sovereignty of Jerusalem back into the possession of the Jewish people. And over the years, we are seeing, a couple of years ago, it was the establishment and bringing forth our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And when we took the tour group with us last year, that we were able to stand outside our own embassy, the American embassy in Jerusalem. That was a great prophetic word coming forth. And now these things that I referred to, it is in the time of challenge. The enemy tried to hit with this virus. But in the midst of it, God is giving us victory after victory in many areas, and we need to exalt his name and say, God, more. We thank you, Lord. But there is a particular scripture I wanted to point out this morning. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we can start with verse 6. But the main verses I pointed out was verse 8 and 9. But verse 6 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. And I already pointed out, even this morning, that it's Jesus who is awesome, and he makes you awesome because he is awesome. And then it goes on, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And this whole dealing with almost every nation having to deal with this virus, we are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. And It's a time God says, don't let the negatives in any way define you. You are going to come out in victory. You may have challenge. You may have questions. How did this happen? And how did, in fact, one of the things that was a fact in this last year has been we had one of the most amazing economies going, but this virus came and tried to hinder the total effect of the restoration of the economy. In the midst of all of that, God says, you may have questions, but I am not. God has not left us, and He is going to bring us out in victory. So don't let the negatives in any way define us. Corporately, don't let the negative define your home, your faith. He is with you, number one. And therefore, because He is with you, He is giving you the victory. There might be certain things perplexing, but your victory is on the way. And therefore, the instructions of the Holy Spirit, who's our teacher, our guide, our counselor, is, hey, if you were in the bull ring, he would, don't stay down now. Get up. He has not counted 10 yet. Come on. And I'm going to give you the strength that you will see the victory. So we may be perplexed, we may be attacked in different ways, but we are not destroyed. God is on His way to give you greater and greater strength and greater victory. Over the last few weeks, there were some victories that were being, or anniversaries of what happened 75 years ago, 70 years ago. There were anniversaries of what happened, that especially during the Second World War, how it looked pretty dark, and yet God, step by step, started giving the victory. That there was, a new production of a movie called Midway, and they had a new production of the Battle of Midway, and I was quite fascinated with the history. I was a history scholar, and the incidents that happened were very amazing, how God arranged. When the enemy was coming, He would give the intelligence to key people on the American side. And the same happened with the Battle of Britain, and it looked very dark. And this is the time where Churchill was prime minister. And so in both sides of the key nations, the United States on one side, we had Pearl Harbor. But then there was the Battle of Midway, which defeated basically the Japanese naval forces. The same happened with Great Britain, step by step. I mean, Dunkirk was a major, in fact, they had a great production of a movie redoing the Dunkirk and the rescue and all of those. And they were not going to be defeated. And that was very key. I mean, Roosevelt, Churchill were some of the key decision makers. And one of the main things that comes out, and it's an instruction for us, is don't you stay down. We are just in the second round here, and you have plenty of chances for having the victory. So God plans to give us the victory. We are not destroyed. We may be perplexed. We may have questions. How did this happen, and how did the virus start, for example? And there is a virologist that's coming from China who's had some revelations how this COVID virus came about. But anyway, in all of this, God says, for me, I saw from his word, he's telling us, get back in the fight. You are going to have the victory. You know why? Because he's in my corner. Jesus is right there with you, giving you the victory, giving your children the victory. So there is a spirit, even over this nation, we see, I mean, in different cities, they tried to defeat the police, for example, and get them real discouraged. You're not wanted, or you're not going to have enough funding. But in all of this, we are praying that Shalom, God's peace, is over the entire nation, that he's going over nation after city after city. He is coming and giving the believers a victory and giving a blessing for the police so that we can have law, we can have peace in our nation. Shalom. Say shalom.
Shalom.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Mahesh, it reminds me of Paul's exhortation to the Ephesians and to us today. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In other words, being joint heirs with Jesus now in what he possesses now as the ascended, seated, and ruling Lord of glory. Since he chose us before the foundation of the world to be accepted in the beloved, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, we might be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and that the Father of glory would give us the spirit of wisdom. Say wisdom.
Wisdom.
More wisdom. Revelation. Knowledge of him. Lord, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of our calling in him. And moreover, he says that you might know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. This is a unique blessing, a unique bestowing of the literal resurrection power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And he has bestowed that on us. And this is, the apostle is praying, and we pray today together, saints here and around the world, that it would be now, Lord, that we might know the exceeding greatness of your power, your mighty power, which you worked in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him there at your right hand. Far above, say far above. Far above. Remember, it said that you might know the spiritual blessings that he has given us together with Christ in heavenly places. That you might know the exceeding great power which he has given him. Far above all principality and power. Far above all might and dominion. That every name that is named, not only now, but in the age to come, would bow to him. And it says, he put all things, say all things, all things. And let's receive that. Let's believe that. Let's decree that. Let's look at our world through the truth that we have in Scripture. The church is the salt and light. Without the church doing what she is supposed to be doing, there is no light. And there is no hope of healing or preservation or recovery. Salt and light. It says he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over the church. The church is called the ground and pillar of truth. So saints, do not be swayed away from who you know and what you believe. We have a sure foundation. And we have clarity and we have truth. And more than that, we have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. The other thing that I just wanted to take a moment to share, the the Lord was kind of helping me see some things, what is happening, what we are doing. And I really feel these few days that we have, and you can choose what days if you want to fast Monday with us or Tuesday or whatever, choose a day, one day per week, or choose a week where you just eat vegetables, however you do it. But let's join in a corporate seeking of God's face and crying out to Him, Lord, thank you, hear our cry, and give us the victory in the name of Jesus. So we can do it individually, we can do it also as husband and wife, as individuals, as gather together as family if you want, and cry on behalf of your needs, corporate needs of the nation, of the church, of the believers together. God is bringing us out, and He's bringing us out with, He says He brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble in their midst. So God has the ability of releasing His power. So the enemy has tried to keep, like they kept children of Israel in slavery, said, no way, you're going to have the victory, you're going to be released, and not only are you no longer going to be slaves, but you're going to be rich people, and the wealth of Egypt will be yours. I'm going to turn it around. So in that sense, that was one of the scriptures I wanted to read out, was in Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. It talks about two blind men. And it says, now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed Jesus. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? I've been curious about, I want to, if I ever have some time, I'm sure I will have, maybe the Lord will give us time to question and answer or something. I would say, here are these guys. They're going around, though they may have a stick, and they are kind of struggling as they go forward. And so, when Jesus said, what's wrong? What do you want me to do? He said, well, take three guesses, Lord. Something like that. But at the same time, I've learned not to be smarter like when the Lord is present. So anyway, then the multitude warned them, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still, called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. So Jesus had compassion and touched the eyes, and immediately the eyes received sight and they followed him. So just a beautiful, in a small paragraph, it talks about these people who had a need and they called to the Lord and get his attention. Jesus, Son of David, don't forget us. Lord, here, look here this way. But somehow they caught the attention of the Lord. And so what do you want me to do? He says, Lord, our eyesight. And the Lord Jesus has compassion and touched the eyes and they were made whole. And it is, I believe, this is what we are doing with our corporate fast, is calling on the Lord's attention and saying, Lord, this is a critical time for us. I pray some major decisions are going to be made by the new administration in November. Whoever is elected, I pray he'll be sympathetic to the Christian position. He'll be sympathetic to our position of blessing Israel and Jerusalem. The previous administration before this one in the U.S. was not sympathetic that much to Israel. So this administration has moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, has done major things, one after the other after the other, to bless Israel. And so we are in the line to get blessed, and I don't want any agency, any dark power to steal our blessing. So
amen.
America is going to be blessed. This nation is being blessed, and the scriptures are very clear that we have blessed Israel over and over. And as we are doing so, God has promised, I will bless those who bless you. We look at Genesis 12 onwards in Psalms. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. So there's prosperity specifically spoken that he is going to give us. And I don't want to deny that the more he strengthens and prospers our nation economically, and you and I, all of us corporately, the more we can do. And I pray the Lord will prosper this church so we can do even more. We have done some, but I would love to do even more in the nations, in blessing orphans, blessing widows, blessing people who are being struck by infirmities or who've been struck by disaster or famine, that America can, as always been, as we have been blessed, we have always been first to bless other nations. And may we be able to be stronger than ever in blessing other people who are poor, who are hurting. And we as a church want to do more to proclaim the glory of Jesus Christ to the world. So say more, Lord.
More, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Mahesh, when we were talking about this event, the particular story about it is in Mark, and Mark is supposedly, you know, the earliest version. But it's interesting how when we're in an event, different things stick out to us in different ways, right? We see different things. But Mark pays attention to one of those men in particular, and he calls him by name. And it says in Mark chapter 10 and 46, it says, as they went out of Jericho, what Pastor read, with a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus sat by the road begging. And many of us have recalled that in those days, you had to go to the priests, who were considered both the judges and the doctors, and prove to them that you were worthy of officially begging for your support, that you were incapable of supporting yourself because of whatever disability that you had. And the priest would give you a particular garment, which was like a badge or a license that you would show to people in these days. But it was a garment that you would wear and, you know, carry your begging cup, and people would know this is legit, this is not a scam. So people would give. And that garment was literally the life source. It was the protection and the assurance, the only assurance that Bartimaeus had in terms of having food to eat or possibly a place to stay or not being just reviled and rejected and abused by the people who saw him begging. And it says that in verse 48, many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. What a word for us in this hour, because the church in many places, and especially in America, in our different scenarios, oftentimes in our employment now, with all the diversity training going on and all of the impact of the social justice narrative and many other things, we see the spirit of Antichrist encroaching to try and silence the church. But this is a time, like blind Bartimaeus, to cry out all the more. He cried out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. I mean, it's very dramatic. He stopped, and he said to his men, go get him. Go get him. So they went and brought Bartimaeus to him and comforted him on the way. And it says in verse 50, throwing aside his garment, he rose and came. That was an absolute, utter act of faith and assurance. He was ready and willing to give up all potential of future security. He didn't know for sure he was going to be healed, but he was real willing to take the risk that he would never have to depend on that beggar's garment again. And for me, this speaks so clearly about our identity in Christ, our confidence in him, and our unwillingness to be silenced, and our ready willingness to run to the Lord, expecting to receive what he is able to do, which is everything. He is willing. And then, like Pastor said, the blind man is standing there. He's thrown off his beggar's cloak. He doesn't have anything else to depend on now. What do you want me to do for me? And he says he says Rabboni. It literally means my great one, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So take courage and be strengthened in this hour in the exercise of your faith, in the speaking of your voice concerning the gospel, in your crying out in prayers. All the more, do not be silent in this hour. It says, immediately he received his sight, and probably the reason that Mark singled him out and wrote about him in this way was because it says that he followed Jesus on the road. And can you imagine those next few moments or hours or days when the disciples had in their midst this man that had been blind all his life and utterly dependent on the mercy and goodness of others for his very sustenance, was now fully restored and was eager to become one of the company of the disciples, giving his testimony everywhere. So we pray that as you refuse to keep silent at this time, that you rise up in the exceeding power that he has bestowed on us through the Holy Spirit, that you also will be anointed to see clearly, to give your testimony of your great one, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be found in his company and have a great impact in this particular hour that God has called us to and destined us for.
Amen. And we want to encourage each other and remind each other. There are certain, in Ephesians chapter 3, the Lord gives us the scripture here. And I want to put it in context of the part of the crowd we read in this. And it's somewhat the same thing here in the time frame we're living in. Talk about in general, that the crowd is saying, shh, hush, don't disturb the master, or keep quiet. He's not doing that right now. And I remember as a young pastor, we had to learn there were branches of thinking that would, if people were in the hospital, there were times where I would have to and I remember how we had to do quite a bit of visitation when we were in Florida. There was a lot of intense cases, and there would be, I always avoided, never speak negatively, but any other person, if you're serving the Lord, it's my job to encourage you and bless you. But there would be certain thoughts, people who would think certain, and they would, intentions were good, but they would say, shh, hush, hush, don't say anything, don't cry out. Whereas there are some of us, and we are, that's the decision we are making here in the midst of it. Lord Jesus, you bless everywhere, and Lord, don't forget us, and bless these people, bless this city, bless our nation, Lord. And your word has promised, just like Jehoshaphat, he didn't just remain like a blob. He said, we got to go before the presence of the Lord. Hey, and we as a nation are going to fast and asked God to keep his word. Lord, you promised when we would have difficulties, come
Jesus.
To you and remind you of your promise. And that's what it is in 2 Chronicles 20. And here, Ephesians 3:20, I like it in the Amplified Version, but it's pretty much the same in the King James. It says, now to him who, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. God is telling us he's going to do super abundantly above all your prayers, all your desires. I say, hey, I can think big.
He says, yes.
And Lord is encouraged. I say, well, at certain times I have been, I tried to be humble. I must have a humble face and be humble. And God says, listen, I can do super abundantly far above all your hopes, all your prayers. So call on me. And so our adjustment, correction, whatever we call it, is ask. Hey, we're going to, by our corporate fast, what we are crying out loud, saying, Lord, thank you. And Lord, there are a lot of fraudsters going around. Mm-hmm. We pray for an honest election.
Yes.
And give us leaders such that it'll be to your glory to give us the victory.
Yes.
Thank you. You're giving us the victory in November.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank
you. You're binding every spirit of doubt and unbelief.
Hallelujah,
Lord. And Marxism and communism. And thank you for letting America be free.
Thank
you for letting us believers be free to come together in church.
Thank
and
you,
pray,
Jesus.
Lord, we bind every restriction. There are places in the United States right now, they are restricting churches from coming together and singing songs of the Lord. Well, we're going to sing. We're going to
and
sing
praises. And the more they resist, the more restrictions they, you know, put on them. But it's, you're absolutely right. As many of you have probably seen, the church is rising. Thank God. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of believing Christians that are gathering together. This is a time of immense widespread fasting and worship, outside worship in droves. It's happening in Montana, in Florida. The Sean Foyt's praise, what did he call it? Praise and protest. This just 2 days ago, there were 12,000 people at the capital of California. So God is working and the church is rising. This is time to speak. It's time to worship. It's time to have confidence in our Lord and know that he is our banner of victory. He's coming to our aid. Pastor Mahesh, that same scripture, Ephesians 3, in the Passion says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all he plans. He will achieve infinitely more, say more, infinitely more than your greatest request. Do you have one? He's got infinitely more than that. Than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream. Wow. And exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Say constantly. Continually. Right now. This evening, tomorrow, this week, this month, this season, I am being constantly energized by the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So, praise God. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah.
As we're preparing to just receive a blessing together, I would like to request you to mark October 3rd, Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, Marshall Park, on your calendar. This will be another one of these times where, as the church in our city, there's going to be a wonderful gathering of praise and prayer. And we would like for all of you to be present to lift up your voice and sing for our city and intercede for our city together with the church.
Where and when?
Together with the church across the city. It will be Marshall Park at 10 o'clock Saturday morning, October 3rd. And I think Michael mentioned about the Freedom Cities Awakening. Freedom Cities Awakening, I'll be ministering September 23rd through 27th at Freedom Cities Awakening. It's 1601 Toddville Road. We'll have a big tent out there. And this outreach is particularly centered in touching, reaching, lifting up, and ministering to the most at risk in our communities. And everyone is welcome. So please consider that. Mark on your calendar, October 3rd, Saturday morning, Marshall Park, 10 o'clock. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Hallelujah. If there are people here, you never have had an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus, after we are dismissed, officially you may come and say, hey, I need some prayer. I want to receive Jesus. Or you have not had a chance to receive the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As after we are dismissed, you can come up and say, hey, I want prayer for Holy Spirit infilling. We are praying right now for each of you. Any kind of infirmity, healing you need, just put your hand on yourself. And pray. We're going to agree for prayer. There are certain things we want to right now. Laying hands is not kind of, there are some restrictions for us that we are working through. I hope that this whole virus thing will be dead and buried in the next few weeks. But we believing for breakthrough for every family, every believer, for every bank account. They'll be running over, shaken together. God's going to bless your finances and make you the head and not the tail, and above only and not beneath. So we speak that. Thank you, Lord. Raise your hands. Say, thank you, Lord. You are able to do. And I confess that over myself, over my family, over my church, and over my nation. You, Lord, are able to do super abundantly, far over and above all that I can ask, infinitely beyond my highest prayers, my highest desires, all my thoughts, all my hopes, all my dreams. You are doing more than I can ever imagine. I give you the praise ahead of time. I thank you for breakthrough and miracles. I speak miracles and breakthrough over myself, my family, over my church, over my nation, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray in this critical hour, a few weeks before the election, I pray you give us the right leadership that will love Israel, that will honor life. I thank you for a believing president. Thank you, Lord, making us the head, not the tail. Blessing us, our economy, every city in this nation. Have the peace of God. I bless you, Lord, as you touch our nation. In Jesus' name, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Amen. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's worship.
And day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. And day and night, night and day, let incense arise. And day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. And day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. Worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things. And to you are all things. Lord, you deserve the glory.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his glory shine over you. We speak shalom. Blessing over you and your family. Go in the glory and anointing of God. Hallelujah. If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, come up front here somewhere, and there will be the prophetic great assistance that will help. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Our helpers helping, can keep your distance. I'm afraid we have to keep a respectable distance. If you want to pray for our sister here, Hank, if you're free, Hank and Pam. Yeah, Donna, if you want to help anyone coming up. Thank you, bless you.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things. To you are all. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Deserve glory.